Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Not only being Pensacola's airport, but our region's airport. We were able to yet again reaffirm that on Monday. We had huge crowds all weekend, and that culminated yesterday with the busiest day in the history of the airport. We had about 15,400 total passengers in and out. And the second busiest day of all time was July 7th of last year.
For what? What was it? The sand in the toes? What was the name of that thing that was going on?
The sand in my boots.
Sand in my boots. Is that why it was the busiest day in the history of the airport was Sunday? Or Monday? Monday was Monday.
Yeah.
What in the world? I know I drove by the airport over the weekend, come back from biking? Boating? Anyway, somewhere on Sunday, and like, you know, the extra lot that they built last year?
Yes.
Or earlier this year? Last year. Anyway, not the grassy lot to the north end.
But
you
the
know,
actual the, parking
the Dallas
lot.
Grassy, no, but the actual, yeah, the one that had been the old grassy lot that became the parking lot was just packed. And my wife and I were like, what? It's not even June yet. What is this? And it's not a holiday. It's not Memorial Day or anything, so good Lord. One would have to assume that Memorial Day is going to be much worse.
No,
that's the wrong part of the clip. Here we go.
The peak hour yesterday, we had 762 screenings. And just to give you, at full capacity, full staffing, which we're quick to sometimes criticize TSA, they were at full capacity all day long yesterday, all equipment up. Our full capacity is considered to be 600 people an hour. So our peak hour was 762. And even with that, the longest ever section that people waited was 31 minutes, and the average wait time was just over 13 minutes getting through on the busiest day we've ever had.
13 minutes, I can't believe it. That's really good. That's outstanding. And peak, you know, 100% capacity is 600 people screen an hour, and they screen 762 at the worst hour. That's pretty good. Only a 31-minute wait, that's also pretty good. That means if you do what you're supposed to do and get there, how long ahead of the flight do you get to the airport, John?
2 hours.
Yeah, same.
Well, I actually get there earlier, but because I like to people watch. But
oh, okay.
I like to watch planes. So,
have you ever traveled with our boss?
Yes, I have.
Let's just say our boss likes to get there at, what would you say?
Oh, like right at time.
16 minutes ahead of time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like, Dave, are we going to make it?
He's the best, but I cannot travel with him. It stresses me out. So, yeah, that's really – and by the way, he's right. TSA is the butt of a lot of jokes. I mean, I think I made a joke about TSA the other day when I was talking about the pickle police. You know, the medium-height ladies who, you know, make sure that everybody's following all the rules of the pickleball courts. Anyway, I had an experience. I'll show you where the mean lady touched me. So anyway.
No, that's called TSA screening.
Oh, there you go. Nice to bring it around.
Again, oftentimes, you know, every few months we'll catch a stray somewhere with somebody waiting in the line for a long time. And that happens when you run an airport. But certainly I do want to celebrate and appreciate the TSA staff and our airport staff that handled the busiest day in the history of the airport, with the longest wait being 31 minutes at any given point. And
when he's talking about catching a stray, he means somebody takes a photo, somebody waits in line too long, somebody posts on social media, like on news radio, that there's a long line around the corner or something, and it's not representative of the experience. It's just one fluky thing. And he's not wrong about that. By the way, you know, something I notice about the mayor that I like, I respect, that it feels familiar, is you can tell whenever he's talking, he's always in his head playing defense against the various forms of criticism that people raise to whatever policy he's talking about. I do the same thing. I'm always thinking about, and, you know, sometimes it's a bit of a flaw because it's the loud, weird voice that, you know, catches your most attention because you want to make sure and defend against him. But it's like playing mental kung fu against all of these attacks. And so I can just hear in his head the email where this happened or the social media post where that happened, and he's kind of parrying against those things, sometimes not quite fully, but that's what's going on. And I mean, I respect that, because when you do that, what it means is you're sort of always keeping in mind those different perspectives. It's the ability to look at a problem from multiple viewpoints, which is hard to teach. And I think the mayor has that. I sort of has it, you know, somehow indigenously. And, you know, I mean, I respect that. That's good. That means you're more likely to see the flaws or problems or criticisms or arguments yourself. And, you know, he's always responding like a debater would, like a lawyer would, even though he's not either of those things particularly.
A big number. And, of course, you know, we anticipate even more this weekend. So call our busiest day ever also a trial run. We're going to be busy again. We expect on Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, so if you're traveling, let's say you're going out on a flight on Friday, recommend that you go to the airport now. And then you'll be sure to have enough time to take care of everything. 515 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English, and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery, so he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ain't Too Proud is a celebration that brings the audience to its feet. The Grammy-winning songs, the Tony-winning moves. Ain't Too Proud, the life and times of the Temptations. June 4th and 5th, Pensacola Sanger Theater. On sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
They're 6-year-olds. How much trouble can they be?
Item 1 is approval to authorize leashed dog walking and installation of way stations along the walking trails at Benny Russell Park and Baghdad Millsite Park. Very similar to what we did at Tiger Point Park about a year ago. It's been very successful, in my understanding.
Yeah, I like that one. It's kind of good that if we do this one, I'm going to quit breaking the law, because I didn't know as I'm walking my boxer around these parks, I didn't know he couldn't be out there. So
yeah, there's a blanket ban on dogs in public parks in Santa Rosa County. I think the same in Escambia County. Like, you can only have dogs in public parks in designated areas, like the dog parks out on the beach, for example, or dog parks at Bayview or whatever. I'd gone to look it up the other day, and I couldn't find it quick enough, and so just whatever. But I do think that's true in Escambia as well. It is true in Santa Rosa, except in places where they have made an exemption, like at Tiger Point. And now, you know, this is Santa Rosa County Chairman of the Board, Kerry Smith, Jared Lowe, the Assistant County Administrator, introducing the item to allow Benny Russell Park and also the Baghdad Mill Park. You heard Brad Baker on the show yesterday was talking. He's the County Administrator, was talking about how they already do like adoption events at Baghdad Mill Park. And, you know, seems like we probably ought to allow dogs if we're going to. I mean, I think they'd probably get a variance or a permit or something, but still. And then Kerry Smith is the one who says, yeah, it'd be nice to finally be able to walk my dog legally, unlike the illegal dog walking that I and many other people do. Meanwhile, Bobby Burkett, another county commissioner.
But are not in county.
Come on, here we go.
Can we add Spencer Field to this also?
Okay. Sometimes you need a translator for Bobby. Spencer Field is what he's saying. And it took me 5 times listening to him say it to realize. I thought I didn't know what he was saying. So it's Spencer Field, and he's talking about waste stations. When he says waste stations, it's waste stations. He's talking like, you know, trash receptacles, okay, that also typically in a dog area have the little plastic bags in them. Okay, here we go.
Can we add Spencer Field to this also, putting some waste stations there?
So as we've discussed, Commissioner, we're going to look into some areas along county roadways that have walking trails where perhaps we do it. Relative to the parks, Ordinance 2016-18 prohibits having dogs. So we are continuing to look into how we might can do that for some other popular walking trails that are not in county parks.
Right. It's a great public service because people like to walk their dogs. And then, you know, having both the receptacle for the waste and once you pick up the poop and then, you know, the bag for the poop, you know, I mean, if you have seen dogs and like at Benny Russell Park, that big walking trail they have or biking trail, whatever you want to call it, off the west side of the park that's off in the woods. It's really great. But, you know, it'd be nice to have something in there to help people. You know, because people forget to bring a bag, or they run out, or, you know, whatever.
I appreciate that, because I walk Spencer Field quite frequently myself, and we have what I call semi-responsible pet owners, because they do take the time to put it in a little baggie, and then they drop it right there on the sidewalk.
What?
So if we could get some waste stations there for them, it would be a big asset to me and everybody else that walks that field around there.
They do what? No. I mean, come on. They have a bag, the dog, you know, does stuff, they pick it up, they tie the bag, and then they just drop it on the sidewalk? Stop it. No, they do not. I mean, I'm one who always is too naive about human behavior, and so whenever people do outrageous things, I'm still amazed by it. But, come on, no, they do not. What do you think? It's just like there's some guy whose job is to go along and pick up your dog's bags? John, have you ever seen that?
No, I haven't.
But can you believe people do it?
Oh, I can believe.
Yeah, I know.
I'm surprised they put it in a bag.
Well, right. Why bother?
Well, yeah, if I'm not going to.
If you're just going to just bloop, yeah, drop it.
Fertilizer.
This is like it kind of reminds me of the people who do that or the people who grow up by white trucks and then honk at the kid crossing into the school bus when they try to pass on the right-hand side with the stop arm. I'm like, you know, what's the scale? We're trying to have a civilization over here. What's wrong with you? 522 on News Radio 92.3. We got David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David? Hello, David.
Good morning.
Tell us what's going on in the newsroom. Did I catch you mid-nap?
No. I'm putting together some stories here later this morning, but...
You gave me one of those looks like, what is happening? So...
Yeah, that's right. I am at work here. I have things I'm supposed to be
it's
doing.
It's early for all of us, though. It really is.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, today is one of those days for me. Multiple tornadoes were reported Tuesday across the Mississippi, Tennessee, and Ohio valleys. Confirmed touchdowns reported in Alabama, Tennessee, and Illinois. This as thunderstorms were moving through the region.
When were the St. Louis? Was it Monday or was it Sunday, John?
I believe it was Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah. That.
Over $1 billion in damage.
Oh, yeah. 5,000 houses damaged, a mile-wide tornado swath cut right through Forest Park, which is, if you don't know, St. Louis is the huge. It's like the third largest municipal park in the country. I think Seattle is second, and Central Park in New York is the first. It's a huge, like, place. And it just, I've seen some. Anyway, sorry. So we've had massive storms in the Midwest this week. Go ahead, David.
Absolutely.
But didn't even count Kentucky, where they had, what, 20? Was it 23? People were killed over the weekend in storms in Kentucky?
Yes, that sounds right. Yeah, it was a massive, massive number of casualties in those. President Trump says he wants a Golden Dome missile defense system in operation within 3 years. He outlined plans for that in an announcement from the Oval Office alongside Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. He said the price tag for that would be about $175 billion.
Look. We all want to be safe from nuclear weapons. And by the way, Trump has a particular hatred of nuclear weapons, which kind of makes sense given his age. He grew up through the Cold War. He grew up through the Cuban Missile Crisis. I mean, he would have been, what, about 15 or 18 or something in the Cuban Missile Crisis era? You know, so he grew up with bomb shelters. He grew up with nuclear war. He'd seen it all in that sense, in a way that, you know, those of us who are younger have not. But I have read some of the perspective on the possibility of doing this, and I am not a believer. I just don't believe that it can be done. The comparison with Israel is a terrible comparison. Israel, a teeny tiny little airspace compared to the United States.
We've got a whole lot more real estate to cover.
Yeah, and intercontinental ballistic missiles that, you know, travel so high and come down so fast at such a steep angle. I am, you know, and multiple independent reentry vehicles, MIRVs, you know, where you have, you know, one rocket or one missile will carry 20 or 30 warheads. I mean, just, and 175 is anybody's wild guess. Like, other versions of this system were estimated to cost a half to three quarters of $1 trillion. And nobody knows. And nobody, I mean, you know, all the generals are saying, oh, sure, we can do it, you know, because he's the commander in chief. I'm not an optimist on this, but I do think it's going to cost a massive amount of money. And I don't think he's wrong for wanting to. It's just a question of technical practicality, plus, you know, in space and defending against the Russians and Chinese in space. It's a big problem. Go ahead, David.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
Well, health officials are saying there may have been a measles exposure at a Shakira concert at MetLife Stadium last week. Apparently, there was an attendee with measles at that show, which had more than 55,000 people present.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well. David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, we did get a bit of, I guess you'd say unexpected, bad news yesterday.
Afternoon, everybody.
Norm! How you doing, Norm? What do you know?
Not enough.
George Wendt, the actor who portrayed Norm on Cheers, passed away at 76 yesterday.
And he was just at Pensacon a couple years ago.
Yeah. So, and, you know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this because Norm is a beloved figure, right? I mean, anybody who ever watched Cheers, Norm, right? I mean, and back in the day when, you know, sitcoms were, I mean, the kind of ensemble concept of sitcoms, whether it was Friends or MASH or, I mean, there's so many Love Boat. Star Trek is semi in that vicinity where you like form these really deep attachments to these characters, you know, all in the family, whatever. And Norm is one where it just disproportionate affection for him because he was the everyman. I heard a clip of him saying that one of the nice byproducts of his CV is that everywhere he goes, people buy him free beer. He never, ever has to pay for beer.
Wow.
Nice bonus.
Exactly.
When I first saw the headline, it was a really wonky headline that I read the very first time that I saw this story yesterday come across on social media. And the headline, as I saw it, I want to read it to you because it was very misleading to me. Hey, here was the headline. Ted Danson, others react to iconic 80s sitcom star dead at 76. And I thought Ted Danson had died.
Well, yeah.
The way it was written. Well, it was Ted Danson and others reacting to George Wendt's death, right? But what it got me to thinking of immediately was all of the people who were in that show and then what else they did afterwards. And it's kind of interesting because George Wendt, Norm, was the sort of the star beloved person in that show. But I would say compared to all the others, he had the smallest further career. You know, he did many other things, but, I mean, think of all the stuff that Ted Danson has done or that Woody Harrelson has done or that, you know, what's his name? The Cliff Clavin character who is, like, the voice of Pixar, basically. You know, they have done all kinds of things. And, you know, George Wendt did a few things. I mean, and I don't mean to be I'm not trying to dismiss somebody who passed away. I'm just saying it's what it got me to thinking about is – that was a launching pad for careers that were massive. And, you know, but George Wendt will always be the guy who's, you know, Norm. And then Norm. The quip about, you know, whatever's been going on that day and, you know, something to say to people.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Oh, Norm!
Norman?
How's life, Norm?
Not for the squeamish, coach.
How's life, Norm? Not for the squeamish, coach. And Shelley Long was always the extra Norman, you know. Just perfect for her character. 529 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Army medics. This is actually kind of an interesting story. Remember we talked about that two-star, three-star? I forget, the general who was speaking at the Air Force at Eglin a couple of weeks ago when they expanded their mission for the F-35 testing for the Air National Guard. And his comments were basically, we all expect to go to war with China, period. We're not just training as if, but we really believe as if. Like, this is, we have to prepare for this within the next few years. And so I saw this headline said, U.S. Army medics prepare for war with China. And so that caught my eye as being sort of along the same line. Not the same thing, but what they were saying is that the traditional way that medics prepare to handle wounded in the battle space is that you can pretty quickly get them out to real trauma care, whether with a helicopter or something else, or on land with a vehicle. The problem is that if you're fighting in, like, islands, you're fighting in the South Pacific, you're fighting in a situation where you may not even control the airspace, because if we're fighting against China, we cannot be sure we can. They have to think differently about, you know, making it hours or even days before they can get them to real trauma care instead of, you know, a half hour or an hour or something like that. And that affects the way they're training to keep people alive.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Work started at 1 a.m. in D.C. for members of the House Rules Committee considering a big tax and spending bill. There's debate over Medicaid restrictions, and some Republicans want higher deductions for state and local taxes.
House Speaker Mike Johnson saying he's optimistic the bill raises the SALT deduction and is a sticking point in high-tax states such as New York. Here's the headline on Fox Digital, which reads, Speaker Johnson reaches tentative deal with blue state Republicans to boost cap on SALT deduction.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. South Africa's president visits the White House today.
President Trump has canceled aid to South Africa, expelled its ambassador, and offered refuge to white minority Afrikaners. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa is in Washington today, hoping to get past all that and get a trade deal agreed between the two countries.
That's Fox's Jonathan Savage. Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey loses his Democratic Party primary. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is partly cloudy. We've got 79 degrees here in Pensacola. Family members have identified the victim in a fatal shooting on Citrus Street earlier this week as Doug White. A memorial display of balloons, flowers, and candles are now set up where he was gunned down on Monday morning. The sheriff's office is still investigating that
shooting. Yeah, we're working it as a homicide. There was a male found off of Citrus with a gunshot wound.
Sheriff Chip Simmons there, he says investigators remain focused on finding a suspect. He told Pensacola's Morning News yesterday many of the detectives that were on that case had to be pulled from another active investigation on Monday morning. Well, Santa Rosa County Commissioners looking at a possible property tax increase to fund road work. That's one of two tax-related items set to be discussed Thursday.
We're in the infancy stages of this, so the board has to have that budget meet to decide if that's what they want. But we will give them the scenarios so that they can make an informed decision about how they want to fund the, you know, the future improvements in Santa Rosa County.
County Administrator Brad Baker, he says the proposal is to increase the tax rate by one mil, which would equate to roughly $16 million. He says that's a way to fund road improvements after that half-cent local option sales tax was rejected by voters last fall. Another tax item would utilize an MSTU for law enforcement, but other taxes would be adjusted so that wouldn't result in a tax increase. Well, Santa Rosa Island Authority officials ready to send their new trolleys out on their maiden voyage this coming Friday. They'll go into service for the year then.
Season's going to be great, as always. It's a beautiful time to be on Pensacola Beach. You know, this is the time of year that we just love for. You know, it starts off with a bang on Memorial Day weekend. We roll into 4th of July, and then the time that everybody's waiting for. 365 days we wait for that. That's right. Blue Angel Week on Pensacola Beach. It's going to be fantastic. We're going to have a great time. We'll close out the summer with Labor Day. But let's just have a great time and get it started early.
And that's Santa Rosa Island Authority Executive Director Mike Burns. Those trolleys make more than 30 stops across the island. And again, they're available starting this Friday from 4 p.m. until midnight, 7 days a week. The SRIA purchased a couple of new trolleys last year as some of their old ones were reaching the end of their expected lifespans. Well, good news if you're looking to unwind. Two of the most relaxing cities in the nation, apparently, just a short drive from our area. Tampa, named the most relaxing city in the U.S. They scored 74.2 out of 100 in an online ranking recently. Factors like green space, walkability, and average temperatures contributed to the ranking. The second place winner was even closer to us, New Orleans, ranking 70.90. Two other Florida cities also made the cut in that list, with Miami coming in at number 5 and Jacksonville at number 11. And that probably contributed to this. Florida has a new tourism record. Governor Ron DeSantis announcing yesterday the state had a record 143 million visitors last year, which breaks the record set just 1 year earlier. The governor said those results are proof that our freedom first policies work and that Florida remains the best place in the U.S. to visit and to raise a family. It's 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 79 degrees. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
There will be a 40% chance of some showers and thunderstorms today, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 89. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 68 degrees. On Friday, nice sunny weather with a high near 88. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Partly cloudy skies right now. We've got 79 degrees across the area. Our next news is at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Elon Musk has confirmed that the company will have robo-taxis on the streets of Austin, Texas by the end of June. The Tesla CEO said a robo-taxi service will start with about 10 vehicles in Austin and rapidly expand to thousands of vehicles should the launch go well with no incidents. Musk added Tesla aims to bring its robo-taxis to Los Angeles and San Francisco following the planned Austin debut. Elon Musk said AI data centers could face power capacity issues in the middle to the end of next year. Musk said his artificial intelligence startup XAI is building a gigawatt-sized data center outside of Memphis, Tennessee. Apple has approved the Epic Games title Fortnite. The move immediately returns the first-person shooter game to the App Store for iPhones and iPads in the U.S. 5 years after its removal. On Monday, a judge said that Apple had to explain why Fortnite hadn't been approved yet or come to a resolution with Epic Games over Fortnite status. Futures are moderately lower. That's Your Money Now.
Gathering at Pensacola Beach is a wonderful family experience. If you've thought about having a family celebration or an amazing beach wedding, there is a very special home now available, Casa de Luna. Casa de Luna is spacious with room for large families. It has 9 large bedrooms and 8 bathrooms. Casa de Luna is a large private home with a refreshing pool and water views. The pool has a new 4,000 BTU gas heater. Casa de Luna is unique in that the main living area is directly on the ground level. It's very convenient. Bedrooms are both on the ground level and upstairs. One bathroom is handicap friendly, and another has a jacuzzi tub. There is a large gaming porch with a pool table, hockey, ping pong, and Xbox One. Bicycles are provided. Bring your family to Casa de Luna on Pensacola Beach.
For information, call Casa de Luna at 850-433-4855. That's 850-433-4855.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get tips on the Blue Angels, beach time, and ways to help make sure your guests don't miss a thing. Friday at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Why do you love your favorite pair of jeans? What keeps you connected to your oldest friends? How do you know that the solution you seek is right for you? The answer is simple. It's the fit. And at Pinair Credit Union, we believe your finances should fit you perfectly. It's the right checking account for how you spend your time and money. It's the right loan for where you are and where you're headed next. It's local banking that's as comfortable as your favorite pair of jeans. Join us at Pinair.org. You'll fit right in. Pinair Credit Union is insured by NCUA Equal Opportunity Lender.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
I can simply tell you that his robbery spree is over. That's what you're going to get if you rob businesses or rob people here in Escambia County. Our deputies are going to do whatever they can to stop you and to stop you as quickly as they possibly can.
Yeah, that was Chip Simmons on, Monday, talking about the arrest of a person in connection with a series of armed robberies at convenience stores. And, talking about how they do this in Escambia County, and you will not be doing it for very long. The crime spree is over. They managed to catch him, and now we'll see all the different charges that come in connection with it. He was in studio yesterday, and we talked to him. Chip, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Would I still
have a couple
see
of questions. Just one question that I wasn't sure about. Actually, can we just tell the story briefly for people who may not have caught it earlier or when David's been talking about it? What happened in this case?
Well, we had identified Donson as a suspect in a number of robberies. We've been working with the ATF, with Pensacola Police Department, and so we kind of suspected him. ATF, right.
Interesting. Okay, what was ATF's angle of interest in this?
Well, there's a potential for some of these cases to go federal.
Okay.
So we want to get them in the U.S. Attorney's Office involved in it from the very beginning.
Got it. Okay.
And so we were doing that. Well, and we had developed him as a suspect so much so that we were doing, our detectives were doing some surveillance on some vehicles that they thought that he might be in.
Okay.
And at one point we noticed that he had stopped out in front. He had stopped his car nearby the raceway on Airport. And so we thought, oh, maybe this is when he's going to do it. Well, in the meantime, we see him exit we don't know what he's doing inside the raceway.
So he wasn't pulled up at the parking lot of the raceway.
No, he parked his car about a block away.
Okay. So that makes more sense
suspicious
to me.
We think we know who this guy, that this guy's the robber that we've been looking for a while now.
Yeah.
And we just didn't have probable cause to make an arrest.
And you weren't like, they couldn't see him with binoculars through the windows that this was happening.
All because he was the parking lot.
That makes more sense. Okay.
Our detectives who were in unmarked sheriff's office cars,
of course,
unmarked Tahoes, see him. They see him leave the raceway through the parking lot, drop something, and ultimately it was money. He dropped some money out of the bag. And then he's carrying his black bag, and he's wearing the hood and the sunglasses and all that.
It's all the circumstantial evidence you would possibly want. The robber uniform.
And so he leaves, and then we're like, okay, we think this is obviously suspicious. He gets into the car. We start to stop the car. When we get the 911 call, sure enough, it was a robbery. So now we knew we had the suspect. We saw him leave the store. We see what he's wearing, and we try to stop him. He's not stopping. The 911 call comes in, which verified that this guy did have a gun. So the chase is on, obviously. And we talk a lot about pursuits. We talk a lot about pit maneuvers. And sometimes there are pit maneuvers that are more aggressive than others, depending upon what the bad guy does and what we feel the danger to the community with letting this guy go.
And by the way, just pause you for a second. I was actually talking to somebody the other day, had never heard the term, and a pit maneuver is just an effort to stop one vehicle with another vehicle.
Pursuit intervention technique, I think, is what it's supposed to be called. But you know, I call it, we bump them, put them in a ditch, do something like that. But the bottom line is we use our car to stop their car. And it wasn't an aggressive pit maneuver, if you will.
From the front.
Well, but you got to understand that we had to stop this car as quickly as we possibly could. And I think people need to also understand the dangers involved in what's taking place. Before our marked unit, before Deputy Abney struck the vehicle, we had an unmarked police car following them or trying to get them stopped and even tried to do a pit on them before. It's not as easy as it looks on television. You got to think about these cars are going pretty quickly and they don't care about the rules. And we also understand, or we knew, that this individual was a armed robber, and he had a weapon, and so he's obviously very dangerous. So these are the types of things that make me proud to be associated with the sheriff's office. It makes me proud to say that our detectives were on him, you know, for a long time. That makes me proud to say that we had a great working relationship with the ATF and with our other partners. And then when you see the actions of the deputy, this is why we have in-car cameras and body cameras, so that we can show and reveal just how great a job that they do.
Well, and, you know, you made the point in the press conference you mentioned again just now about the danger. Here you have somebody that is a known, you know, believed to be a known, you know, convenience store robber with a weapon.
Right.
And you're head-on colliding with him and stopping him, and the video is kind of precious of his expression on his face that you paused it right
Isn't
at that
great?
Moment. Yeah, that's fantastic. I almost wanted to turn that into a GIF because it's great.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then, but you don't know at that point, like that exact moment, is he going to hands up surrender, which he did, or is he going to go for his gun and fight back? And you're facing him 6 feet away through your, you know,
right.
I mean, across two hoods basically is the only difference between you. And it's a pretty, potentially a pretty, you know, concerning situation. You mentioned yesterday in response to the question, how many crimes was he connected with? It was obviously the four you had previously plus this one, three or four anyway. But it seemed like it might be a quite bigger number than that. And I'm assuming that the reason you can't say specifically is because of some of these federal issues and what might be involved in some of those events. Is that
That's absolutely correct. It's going to be a lot more than four.
Okay.
I will tell you that there are some things that we can say on a state level, which I do.
Yeah.
And there are some things that we don't want to compromise any investigation. So I wanted
Makes
to
sense.
Wait until the federal authorities get their opportunity to process what took place and all. But what happened, again, with the armed robbery is we had to take the step that we took. When we took it.
Do you happen to know, now, if he's done many of these, then we're talking about many clerks, okay? But do you happen to, I was amazed at how calm the clerk was, you know, doing what he did and responding and just not giving him any reason to shoot him, going through
right.
two cash registers in the process. Is he okay? Have you talked to him at all, or do you know?
I haven't talked to him, but yeah, his demeanor was pretty calm and collected. I'm not sure if he had been robbed before, but
yeah,
he was doing what I think that he should be doing to protect himself and mm-hmm. whatever customers might be there. But again, this guy had a gun, and the gun had a bullet in the chamber.
Ugh.
And again, this guy was willing to do what he had to do to get away, and until we did what we had to do to stop him.
One of the things we've talked about in the past when it comes to physical force intervention with car versus car is the cost and damage to the is Tahoes or Explorers, what do you guys drive?
Tahoes.
Okay, it's Tahoes. Okay. But you put these enhanced bumpers on the front.
Right.
Which protects the car itself from having to do the, you know, repairs. How bad was the car? I mean, is that a common thing where you still have to do repairs to the cars, or is it now with the new bumpers, are you more safe from that?
Typically on a stolen car that we're not sure exactly who's stolen the car, but
yeah.
we stop those. You'll get behind the car, and we teach our deputies to get behind the car and nudge their bumper with our bumper. So we typically
like moving
don't
sideways
have a lot.
Across
yeah,
their
we don't
bumper.
Have a lot of damage on our car, and then we pin them. If it's damaged, it's superficial. In the case where it was the other night, Deputy Abney's car, it did have an airbag deployment. He hit the car pretty good.
Yeah, it was.
But like you said, we don't know. We know the guy had a gun, and he's, first of all, he's already a convicted felon. And then he's got a gun. Then he's doing all his robberies. He needs to be stopped. He is a danger to society. And so he took the opportunity. Had he let him get by him,
mm-hmm.
then who knows what's going to happen behind it. Now, it takes some guts. It takes some wherewithal to do what he did and to say, you know what, I'm not letting this guy pass me.
Agreed. Is he okay, by the way?
He's okay.
Okay.
He was okay. He did have some injuries. The airbag deployed.
Yeah.
And so he suffered some injuries there. But you know what? He did a great job. And I was smirking a little bit, smiling a little bit all day yesterday because of the good work that our detectives did, The cooperation that we had,
yeah.
and again, just to get out there and a commitment to catching a bad guy is something that I'm,
all right.
I'm very proud
you
of.
You know what I'm going to ask next. I think Detective Abney has earned a vinyl sticker on the side of his car. I think that, you know, I know you laughed me off last week, but I'm just telling you, if we're going to go down this path, I mean, he deserves a helmet sticker.
Well, the car is going to need some work. We can fix the car a little bit, and again, that's why they get into law enforcement. They get into that so that they can do that that type of stuff, stopping those types of bad guys. And Ashley, the detective that was out there as well. I mean, think about this. Deputy Abney didn't get there for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
So our detectives were there behind him the whole time. She was not going to let him get away. In fact, on the video, I made sure that we saw her as well. She was on the back. She's the one, the second bump.
That came in there.
Yeah. She tried to do a pit maneuver on him first and wasn't able to do so. And then Abney was able to complete the stop.
Well, it was a great takedown, an excellent incident, and you know, fantastic police work all around. A couple of other stories that we do want to make sure to mention. I think it was on Citrus Lane that there was a deceased person found, a body found. Is that right?
Yeah, we're working it as a homicide. There was a male found off of Citrus with a gunshot wound, and that's all we have right now. Obviously, our detectives have been working on it. We got pulled away from one to work the other because what people may not understand is that the same detectives that work the homicide also were working this armed robbery. They work some very serious crimes, and usually it doesn't happen back-to-back like this, but in this particular case, they were pulled from one to the other. But we have all the available resources working on the active homicide investigation.
We also had you had your memorial service on Thursday during Law Enforcement Officer Memorial Week, and I've been to a couple. I haven't been in a couple of years, but this was a chance to use the new facility,
right?
Which has, I assume, better seating, better shade, better for this exact purpose, right?
Yes, I wouldn't say it has better shade. It's a memorial plaza.
Okay,
and so yeah, this was our first opportunity to honor those who paid that ultimate sacrifice. We talk a lot about what our deputies do and how brave they are. They're brave because they understand that the worst could happen.
Right.
And this was our opportunity Thursday to say thank you in our new memorial plaza. It's not 100% complete. There's still a punch list of things we have to do, but it was pretty much ready. The wall is up. The names are up. There's a star etched in the center. There's some what we call stadium seating, but mm-hmm. it's 3 or 4 levels of seating. So it was just a great way to honor those who paid that
And also, by the way, the former facility that you used to have did not get destroyed. It got moved to Molino, right, at the substation up there, which is very nice.
Right. There was nothing really wrong with it. It was just too small, and
right.
It was oriented in a way that we didn't make use of the area, the property that we have up there. So a lot of effort was made to, hey, can you move this? Can you keep it all in one piece? And we want to put it up. There was room up there off in front of our Molino substation. So they did a good job of moving that thing up there. And so now that people that may live in the northern part of the town, if they want to pay their respects, then they can go up to our Molino substation. It's right off 29. So we're very happy with the way it worked out. Can you have enough monuments to the brave men?
Well, and you mentioned the danger, and we had Santa Rosa sheriff's deputy pass away from a cardiac event after he helped somebody push a car off the side of the road, and the stress of the job and the stress to his body and all of that, and there are all kinds of ways in which your officers are at risk every day. It's not just the most obvious, felon shooting back at you after committing a robbery. There's all kinds of things, putting a ticket in somebody, if they're in the roadway, basically, it can be all kinds of danger. Last thing I wanted to ask you about, that you had another incident on, is it Navarro Road? You had a fight over a bar tab and their shotgun was involved.
Yeah, we had two guys that knew each other, and there was an argument over who was paying the bar tab. And then we get a call on a disturbance at Navarro, and the claim is that, I think his name is Jarman. Jarman pointed a shotgun from a porch at an individual that was sitting in a car.
Okay.
So there's some questions. Oh, if he's protecting himself from his porch. Well, it wasn't his house. It was the guy sitting in a car's house. And he was just letting that guy stay there for a period of time as they were acquaintances.
Okay.
And so when a deputy got there, they evaluated whether he was reasonable to think that guy's life was in danger. Typically, if I'm on my porch or my house and someone comes to my house, first of all, you get the benefit of the doubt. But secondly, in this situation, I don't think that, or the deputies didn't think at the time that it was reasonable to believe that his life or someone else's life was in danger. So we ended up arresting him, charging. We retrieved the shotgun. We were able to do that because it wasn't his house. He hid the shotgun in a house that wasn't his.
You don't have as much right to use Castle Doctrine on somebody else's house.
Yeah, and
against them.
Right, yeah, against the owner of the house.
Right.
That's letting you stay there. It's a little different scenario. But all things considered, you know, we talk about this all the time, and we've been doing it for years. It's a reasonableness standard. Is it reasonable to think that your life or someone else's life is in danger at that point? Mm-hmm. And it was not. The deputies that were there, that talked to witnesses, that evaluated the scene, they felt like it was not. So he was charged with aggravated assault.
And even if you guys don't determine that it's a legitimate self-defense or stand your ground or castle, whatever, you don't determine that at the scene, that can still be brought up through subsequent defense. It can be a strategy, legal defense. And so that's not ruling it out. It's just that your preliminary, you know, didn't show that. And, you know, that doesn't rule it entirely off the table.
Right.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, a pleasure. Thank you so much for the time. Thank you for the good work that your agents do and for, you know, showing us. I mean, I love seeing the video, and we get to see what people do. And it's really an eye-opener a lot of times to, you know, what goes on that we might not necessarily see if we're not out on the roads and that stuff happens. We'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. If you are building anything, rebuilding, fixing, repairing, adding, whatever, or you build things for a living, Pensacola Hardware is your place. Now, one thing, of course, they have the stuff, okay? Whatever stuff you need, they've got it. They've got it in stock. If you need like a specified product because you build things for a living, you know, the architect gives you something special order or the engineer, whatever, they take care of those all the time. But for most people, you know, most of the things you would need at any given moment, they have it all in stock. And not just that they have the stuff, but they have the knowledge of how to use it, how to install it. And also one of the, and they can help you with that. You know, they are, it's a weird way to say it, but like they're the living YouTube video. And they can tell you for sure how to do your particular problem the right way. You know how sometimes you go to watch a YouTube video and you're like, have to watch 18 to find the one thing you need? It won't take 18 people to figure out the one thing you need. Anyway, so very, very useful as a resource to understand how to do things. Also, they really focus on the best quality. So, yeah, I mean, it's true. Sometimes the stuff they have is a little bit more expensive. But if a hammer, you know, is half the price but it lasts one-fifth as long, did you really save any money on the hammer? You know, like, that's part of the problem with buying cheap stuff. You get cheap results. So at Pensacola Hardware, you get good stuff, and they will take care of you, and they will help you if you're a professional builder, and they'll help you if you're just an ordinary person doing a repair. Pensacola Hardware, the oldest business in Florida since 1851, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Gun Show this weekend in Crestview, Florida. Hundreds of guns, knives, ammo, coins, and more. This is a buy-sell trade event. Private sales and sellers welcome. It's a brand new event located at 410 West James Lee Boulevard, Crestview, Florida. Saturday, 9 to 4, and Sunday, 10 to 3. Admission just $10 a person. Kids under 14 are free. Discounts for law enforcement, military, firefighters, and first responders. For more information, go to usagunshowsfl.com.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air.
Tune in tomorrow at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Seriously, who throws a shoe? 558 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, Andrew. If I can get my mouse to work properly to bring this
You need to train that thing
up.
Better.
I'm telling you.
You need some cheese?
It doesn't want to run on the wheel, but there we go. I got it. Well, the House pulling an all-nighter as Republicans are trying to pass President Trump's budget plan. The Rules Committee started meeting about 1 a.m. Eastern with a tight vote expected. Trump met with GOP lawmakers Tuesday, warning those that didn't support the bill they could be knocked out so fast. Republicans can only afford to lose 3 votes if all Democrats oppose it.
And admonishing them not to mess with Medicare, although he used a word other than mess. And I think it's funny that that's the headline is, President Trump swears to House Republicans. It's not even news anymore. No. It's just, that's just him talking. That's fine.